Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
I'm aware that when we're in the church, often we don't always communicate things as they should be. And you may be aware of that as well. And sometimes things aren't correctly communicated. But it's fundamentally important, and I think in this church it's very evident, that the fundamental truths of the Word of God are communicated well. And we thank God for our Pastor Tony and others who minister here, and for the words that they're able to give that do encourage and edify and speak to us about the Word of God. Sometimes things are not communicated right. You may have seen a few of the church bulletin bloopers. I know Josh never does anything like this. But, you know, you may have heard things that have been printed out before, like the sermon this morning is Jesus walks on water. The sermon tonight is searching for Jesus. Where has he gone? And things like, you know, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Oops. Don't let worry kill you off. I hope Rosemary didn't hear that, if you're listening up there, Rosemary. Oh, you did hear that? Oh, dear. There's just no getting away, is there? There's no escaping. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Hallelujah. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Well, if some of you aren't sure, then something's gone wrong somewhere. The Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Not in this church. The rector will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. Hallelujah. You see. We need to, if we're going to flourish and abound in the world, rather than staying in the same place, you know, it's time that we moved. You know, we're so often dealing with the issues and we end up, you know, going round the same old place again. Do you remember that song, She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain? She'll be coming round the mountain when he comes. You know, some Christians will still be going round the mountain when he comes. And I pray that we'll not be going round the mountain. We'll have ascended the mountain of God. Hallelujah. So we'll have dealt with the issues, and so then we can focus on the task in hand. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on the issues that we're dealing with, we get our mind, and this is one of the key strategies of the enemy, is to distract us through issues that we face for the actual purpose that God has called us. What God has called us for such a time as this. And sometimes we need reminding what God has called us for such a time as this. What has he called you for now, in this place, today, in this community that you're in this church, in this fellowship? What has he called you for? Because he has called you for a purpose. You are on this planet for a reason, for such a time as this. So maybe it's time for us to say, right, enough is enough. I'm going to focus on what God is. And despite the circumstances, despite the odds, now I'm not trying to belittle some of the issues that some of us face, because they're major. But what I'm saying is that God will take us through those and enable us. And sometimes in reaching out to achieve what he's called us for, we find ourselves going through the issues without realizing. And God deals with them when we begin to focus on the call of God. That's why Paul says, forgetting what is behind and focusing on what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. In fact, he says, this one thing I do, not loads of things, this one thing I do, I press on towards the goal. And sometimes we need to do that. It's building our lives on foundations that are firm, that stand the storm when the storm comes. You know, in Luke 6:38, Jesus described people like this, who the man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck, the house could not shake it because it was well built. Is your house well built? What are you building your house on? the Word of God, the Word of God, the truth, the foundations of God's Word will make a solid rock in your life so that when the flood comes and the torrents strike, the house will not be shaken, hallelujah, because it is well built. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 3:17, I pray that you being rooted and established in love, hallelujah. So I want to read this morning from the book of Ephesians, where we've been reading from over the last few weeks, where Pastor Tony's been speaking on the spiritual warfare and the weapons of our warfare. So I just want to remind you of part of the scripture that we're reading, and then I'll take you to another passage as well. But first of all, Ephesians 6:10 says this, finally, I love it when Paul says finally, because that means there's about another three chapters still to come. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your guard, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and on he goes with the full armor of God. And then if you can flick over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. He says this, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. God will add his blessing to his world. Now we begin a teaching process and a learning process really from the moment we come into this world. As parents, we begin teaching our children from the moment they're born. Mothers are particularly good at this and come experts very quickly in educating their offspring on the basic principles of survival in this life. If you're a mother here, I'm sure you've taught some of these principles, these things my mother taught me. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside because I've just finished the cleaning. She taught me to appreciate a job well done. My mother taught me about time travel. I don't know if any of your mothers taught you this. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. She said, if you fall out that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. She taught me irony. She said, keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Never said that, have we? She taught me about eating by osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Yes. She taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Sorry, Mum, I can't. She taught me about hypocrisy. She said, if you've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. But above all, she taught me about the circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. And she taught me anticipation. She said, just wait until you get home. Yes, I know. Things our mothers taught us. It's good to be taught and it's good to learn. There are things that we need to learn. It enables us to succeed in life. And in the same way, the Bible teaches us ways and means for us not only to survive in life, but to actually thrive in life. You know, there are too many people who are simply surviving. When God has called us to thrive, He talks about blessing and favor on our lives, yet we live with the minimum and say, oh, God, just get me through today. Please just get me through today. Oh, if I could just get through today, Lord God. And he gets us through the day. And then the next day we get up and say, oh, God, if you just get me through this day, please just get me through the next day. And then by Friday, say, oh, Lord, just get me through the weekend. If you could just get me through. And God's saying, for goodness sake, I want more than this. I called you for more than this. He called us to thrive. You know, where does, this is another sermon, and I won't get sidetracked, but where does the table run over? Where does your table run over? In the presence of your enemies. Where it shouldn't run over is the very place where it does run over. And in God, the very place where things seem to and should come against us, and the place where they do come, is the place we're supposed to be thriving, growing, and extending the borders of the territory that he's given us. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You see, over the last few weeks, Pastor Tony's been speaking about our spiritual warfare and teaching us principles on how to overcome the enemy and see the victory in all we do, wrestling not against flesh and blood, as it says in Ephesians 6:12. And in all these things, we need to remember, in 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, because the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, someone this morning needs to hear that. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. And you've been fighting it for too long and trying to fight it in your own strength. And because of that, you have not succeeded, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. And then objects as big as mountains will disappear in front of us. So maybe the battle for you today is not yours, it belongs to God. You see, if anything comes against me, I'm a child of God. So anything that comes against me is coming against my God. And when it comes against my God, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit raises up a standard against him when the enemy comes in like a flood. Glory to God. I am a victor, not a victim. I know I may sound like a Tim when you call me, but I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. Maybe you should change my name to Tor instead of Tim. Huh? We're a victors in Christ, hallelujah. And we need to start living that way. The battle's not ours, but God's. But I also want to pick something else out this morning. Because in Ephesians 6:13, which we read, it says this. It says, therefore. Now, let me just say, if there's a therefore in the Bible, you need to see what it's there for. Because it's there for a reason. So he says, therefore. And his therefore is because we wrestle against principalities and powers, if you read the verses before. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And after you have done to stand. And after you have done everything, to stand. Now, my question to you this morning is, if you're going to stand in the face of opposition and adversity, have you done everything? And what does that everything mean? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this tonight. But yes, the battle does belong to the Lord, but we also have to do our part. And there are things we also need to do to enable us to walk in the victory that Christ has already won and purchased for us. Now, just in passing here, one of the things that we need to do that Paul's talking about is put on the full armor of God. And again, Pastor Tony talked a little bit about the armor of God. But notice what he says. He doesn't say put on the armor of God. He says put on the full armor of God. I hate jobs half done, don't you? You know, if you've got to do a job, finish it, complete it. And God is saying here, he doesn't want us to put on half the armor. He said, some husband's got a nudge there, didn't they? Jab in the ribs. He says, don't put on part of the armor. Don't do part of the job. Do the full job. Put on the full armor of God. You know, forgive me, but there are far too many spiritual streakers who go out half naked, because they are not wearing the full armor of God. You might never hear me preach in this pulpit again. But there are too many people who go out half-dressed without wearing the full armor of God. And then they wonder why. They become a target for the enemy and give the enemy a foothold and give the enemy opportunity. He says, put on the full armor of God. Everything. So you're completely covered. So then you have done everything. Because if you haven't put the full armor of God, you haven't done everything. But when you have, you've done everything to stand. You see, there's certain action that is required on our part. And in our second reading, when Paul talks to Timothy about his faith and foundations, one thing that strikes me about what Paul says so frequently in his Gospels and in his epistles is he uses action words. He talks about doing. You see, faith requires doing. A pastor of mine used to say, it's called faith with legs. You know, we can talk about faith. We can do faith with words, but faith needs legs. Faith needs action. James 2:18, we know the scripture. You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And in verses 11 and 12 of what we read of 1 Timothy, is no exception. He's talking about faith with legs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made good your confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, there's words that Paul uses here. Words like flee. Words like pursue. Words like fight. Words like take hold of. These are all doing words. They're all action words. And they require us to do something. They're action words that speak of our taking possession or perhaps not taking possession of what is rightfully ours. You see, there's not an automatic inheritance for the children of God. Yes, Christ has purchased things for us, but we need to walk in. We need to take hold of. The kingdom of God, since the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 11, 12, is forcefully advanced. And who take hold of it? Forcefully advancing men and women of God. Hallelujah. People who are willing to do. People who take action. People who have done everything, who then stand. People, Daniel 11, 32, who know their God and therefore do great exploits in the name of their God. These are the men and women who advance the kingdom and who are able to stand. So what do we need to do? What do you need to do? What do I need to do? The first word Paul uses is flee. Now, these are all things that enable us to do everything to stand, but not only to do everything to stand, but to remain standing. I want to remain standing. I want to be like the house that is built on the solid rock. So when the winds have come and the storm has come, at the end of it, I might look battered and bruised. I might not look the... You know, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, doesn't it? I have to admit, some mornings it's more fearful than wonderful when I look in the mirror. But sometimes the mirror looks back at me and says, Cor, you look good today. And I go, yes, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Someone said I need to get a new mirror. And then other times I look in the mirror and it goes, oh, Tim, oh, dear, I'd go back to bed if I were you. You know, it's not always a pretty picture. But as long as I come through standing through the storm, hallelujah, you know, that's how I want to come through. It's not how we start, it's how we finish that counts. And you may come through looking battered and bruised. Do you remember that picture I showed you of Carissa when she'd come down that roller coaster at wherever we went? And she looked horrified. She made it, though. It didn't matter whether she had a smile on her face or whether she looked half terrified, poor child. The important thing was she got through safely. And the important thing is that you come through. So God wants us to be standing on the finish line, to be crossing the finishing line, hallelujah. And he gives us these encouraging things to be able to do something about making sure we are, with God's help, hallelujah. Because if God helps us, you know, God meets us. James 4:8, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. There's a meeting where God comes and meets with us. You know, it's not all down to us and it's not all down to God. We all play our part in doing these things. So Paul uses this word flee. Now, I don't know what you imagine about the word flee. The flee, it conjures up in my mind one of these David Attenborough wildlife documentaries where you see a gazelle being hunted by a lion or a cheetah and the gazelle has to literally flee for its life. And Paul is saying there are things that we need to flee from for our eternal life. I'll say that again. There are things that we need to flee from for our eternal life to be able to stand and stand strong. I remember once where we used to live back in Watford. I was out for a stroll one evening and it was dusk. It was getting sort of dark and there's a field at the top of the road. And I was taking a nice, gentle, relaxing stroll and I was just in the middle of the field having a God moment. Have you ever had a God moment? You know, just there relaxing and just chilling. But the problem was they kept horses in that field. And normally it wasn't a problem, but it was today because it was getting dark and I was at the point where it was difficult to see what was there. And all of a sudden, I start hearing this sound. Clippity-cloppity, 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 clippity-cloppity. And it's getting louder. I'm thinking, what on earth is that? My goodness. Now, I didn't think, well, what shall I do about this? Oh, well, you know, see what it is when it gets here. Well, never mind, praise God, you know. I did something about it. I took off up the field, and I did the fastest 100 meters I've ever done in my life. I was taking no chances. I wasn't going to hang around and see what it was. I thought, my goodness, I'll be out of here. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, the spirit of Elijah came on me. Passed someone at the top of the road. They thought it was Usain Bolt. I wasn't hanging around. I fled from the place where it was. Now, that tells me two things, really, or this tells me two things. The first thing Paul's telling Timothy is we need to treat ungodliness and the sins of this world with the same tactics that I used with this oncoming horse in the field. I need to get as far away from them as possibly can, as fast as I possibly can. I need to do something to enable me to stand and continue standing. And maybe there are some things that you need to flee from that are part of your life at the moment that you know shouldn't be. And you sort of, I'll walk away from that. And, No, flee! Flee! That's what the Bible says. That's why Paul says it. Hey, you know, Paul understood the wiles and schemes of the enemy and the luring of the enemy to try and draw us back. And when you don't flee, there's every chance you'll be drawn back. So that's why he says to Timothy, flee. If I desire to stand and to see the kingdom of God come in my life, there's no room for the things that the flesh may desire, and I have to keep these things as far away as possible. And Paul's also warning Timothy that there will be temptations and desire that seek to lead him from the path God has chosen for him. Things that would subtly try to entice him away from the path of everlasting life, to lure us gradually away from God's plan and to cause him to fall instead of stand. And the other thing that I realize in what Paul's saying here and using that word flee is that I'm not as strong as I think I am. See, the devil will say, oh, but there's no harm in that. Just come and it won't affect you. It won't affect your walk. By the time Sunday's come again and you've repented three times by Sunday, nobody will know. It won't matter. You see, unfortunately, God's just not a Sunday God. God's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday God. God's a God of every day. And he's interested in everything that's going on every day. And, you know, I've realized the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm not a chocolate cake person. There are some people who would die for a bit of chocolate cake. My wife used to be a chocoholic, didn't you? Not so much now, you know, you've seen the light. Yeah, she's been delivered. Put a bit of chocolate cake in front of me and it's not a problem. Wave a Turkish delight in front of me. One of those little purple Turkish delight chocolate. I'll wave one of those in front of me, it might be another matter. Might be strong one day and I might say, no. But I tell you, the next day I might just be tempted. And when I think no one is watching, I mean, it's only one chocolate bar, isn't it? It's nothing major. It's only a little chocolate bar, isn't it? It's only a little sin. It won't matter, will it? By Sunday, I'll be dealt with. That's why Paul tells Timothy, don't just walk away. Paul, the great apostle, speaking from his own personal experience, from his own personal journey, the man who we think should be able to resist anything, says, walking away is not good enough, Timothy. You need to flee, as though whatever it is you're going away from would cost you your life if it caught you. You see, I'm coming to realize that we're not, you know, it's here but by the grace of God I go. Here but by God's grace. You know, I've started writing in one of my journals about what I call scary verses. You see, there's too much of gentle Jesus, meek and mild preached today. Praise God, not in this church. You hear the truth in this church. But you know, the Bible says it's an awesome thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And one of those scary verses that I have is 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul says, I buffet my body. Again, that's a doing word. And lead it captive, lest proclaiming to others and doing all these amazing things that I do in the power of God, I myself might be rejected. How scary is that from the great apostle Paul? That makes me think, Lord God, here go I but by the grace of God. Here go I not because of anything about me, but purely about what he has done. You know, we don't pray the Lord's Prayer often enough. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil, Lord. How often do we pray it? Because he promises he will. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation that comes, there will be a temptation that comes. He will also provide a way of escape so you may be able to endure it. In other words, you will be able to stand and stand firm and stand strong. Flee. Second word that Paul uses is pursuing. Now, fleeing and pursuing are opposites. One speaks of leaving behind and the other speaks of running towards. You see, it's not simply good enough just to flee. You have to have a direction you're fleeing to make that flight into a pursuit. When I was doing the 100 meters away from that horse, it was no use me running into the middle of the field. I was running for the gate so I could get out and escape. So I was heading towards safety, the safe place. There is a safe place in God. And as we flee from that which is unrighteous, we need to be pursuing God. Because as long as you're pursuing God, you're automatically going to be fleeing from the things that are unrighteous. What is it that distracts you? What is it that takes your focus away? How distracted are you from running the race? Are you fleeing with purpose and pursuing godliness, righteousness, faith, and love, as Paul says? Because in doing things, you will be able to stand firm and remain standing. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He says, flee. He says, pursue. And then he goes on to say, fight the good fight. You see, there's an enemy that comes, John 10 tells us, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But we need to take a stand against him. And we've been learning how to do that and resist him. How do you resist the devil? James 4, 7. By submitting yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We quote that as resist the devil and he'll flee. No, it says submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance. The devil doesn't want to be around godliness and holiness. And as long as you're abiding under the shadow of his wings, the devil won't be coming. He won't be visiting. You're a child of the Most High God. He's not going to be partaking of the divine nature with you. You are seated in heavenly places where he does not belong, because you're seated with him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So how's your fight? Because Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Are you willing to fight for your right, or is it just a case of lying down and playing dead and burying your head in the sand, saying, oh, if I can just get through to Friday, I'll be so well, Lord, I'll be all right. No. He wants you to fight for what God has purchased for you, for what Christ has already purchased you on the cross. He wants you to stand up for what is rightfully yours, knowing who you are in Christ, because in doing that, you are doing all to enable you to stand firm and remain standing. Are you getting this? Because I'm preaching it to myself as much as I'm preaching it to you. Because I feel that finger pointing at me and saying, yes, God's saying, yes, Tim, there's some things you need to change as well. You know, the sad thing is there are too many Christians who've lost their fight. But the Bible says, I said it earlier, Matthew 11, 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and forceful men and women lay hold of it. You know, there are some things that are worth fighting for. When I first asked my beautiful wife out, having been hurt deeply by me, wounded and damaged, that she would never even speak to me again, when I asked her out again, not surprisingly, she said no. So a few days later, I asked her again, and she still said no. Wise woman, I hear some of you saying. Now, I could have given up, and she was hoping I would. And she's probably now thinking that she should have stood her ground. But again, I asked her, and this time she said she would think about it. Something had moved. Persistence was prevailing. Hallelujah. So again, I asked, said, will you go out with me? And I said, please hurry up, because Jesus is coming back again soon. Now, if there's any young people watching this, it's not the best chat up line, okay? Don't go down the same avenue as I have. Now, you're all wondering, how on earth did it happen? Well, I don't know. It must have been God. That's all I can say. And this time she said, okay, but you better behave yourself or on your bike, mate. Something like that. I can't remember what it was. So 4 months later, when I asked her to marry me, we went through it all again. I marched her up to the top of this mountain in Scotland because I said, I always said I was going to propose on a mountain in Scotland somewhere where God lives. I got the ring in my pocket, got to the top. I was gasping for breath. I got down on my knee. Oh, my beautiful Sim, will you marry me? And she looked at me and she said, why? I said, why? I said, I've walked up to the top of this hill, dragged you to Scotland, brought you to Scotland, got you to the top of this hill, and now I'm asking to marry me, and you're saying, why? I love you with all of my heart. My voice got high. And she looked back at me and said, no, not why. She said, why for yes. It's the first letter of the word yes. And if you behave yourself over the next few months, you see a pattern forming here, can't you? If you behave yourself, I still haven't learned to behave myself, unfortunately, she's still saying it. If you learn to behave yourself over the next few months, she said, you may get an E. And then if you're really good, you never know that maybe an S come in. And you'll get your yes. I'm just so glad she didn't say A for affirmative. I'd still be here now. all the children, you're watching, you wouldn't be here, man, I tell you. My goodness me. You see, some things are worth fighting for. And sure enough, through trial and tribulation, battle-scarred and weary, eventually I got the answer that I wanted from the woman in Watford who said yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it was so worthwhile, wasn't it, my darling? Yes. Yeah, yes. Catch you where you can't say anything but yes, I know. In the presence of many witnesses, thank you, Lord. There are some things that we need to fight for and push and persevere for until we get the answer. Some things are worth doing everything to stand for. And you know, there are promises and destinies in God that God has spoken over some of your lives, and you've given up the fight. Well, maybe this morning I'm here to tell you it's time to start fighting again. It's time to start believing what God has said and taking that promise once again and say, I've had enough. You know, Pastor Tony said yesterday, I love it, in the men's conference, he said, you know, it was one of the others, actually. He said that someone saw the devil crying on the corner of a corner and said, why are you so upset? He said, well, it's these Christians, they keep blaming me for everything. Yeah. You see, the devil's not responsible for everything we go through and every issue that we face. Sometimes we need to do something about it. Sometimes it's us. And we need to say, oh, hold on, we need to take a rain check and say, hold on a minute. We need to look in the mirror, which usually means talking to your wife if you're married. And we need to realize there are some things that aren't right and need changing. And begin to fight for what God purchased for us. Jesus shed his blood on a cross that we might have life and have it in all its fullness, that we might possess the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God and be the men and women of God he destined us to be when all the days ordained for us were written in that book before even one of them came to be. Laying hold of that for which he has laid hold of us for, Paul writes in Philippians 3. Taking hold of what God has got for you. Advancing the kingdom of God. Not sitting, but standing. Standing firm. Standing strong. Standing in faith. Hallelujah. And then Paul says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He tells Timothy to take hold, to lay hold of. Now, laying hold to me suggests of grabbing something and making sure you've got a firm grip of it. You know when you shake hands with someone and they give you that sort of wet fish handshake and you think, oh, dear, dear, for goodness sake. You know you want a good, firm handshake, don't you? Listen, when God promises you stuff and you want to take it, he's not looking for a sort of, all right, thank you, Lord. He's looking for you to take it and lay hold of it, hallelujah, and fight for it and stand on what God has given you. But it all suggests to me that it's not just about taking, it's about making sure that you have got room in your hands to take what God has. In other words, your hands aren't so full of baggage that you can't take what God has got for you. Let me just, John, can I just borrow you for a second? Because I just want to, you know, there are some things that we need to. You see, could you hold that, please, John? Thank you very much. Could you just hold that for me, please? Thank you very much. Just hold that for me as well, please. You just hold that for me as well, please. You just hold that for me as well. Can you just hold that for me as well, please? See, some of us are like this. Baggage. 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 And then God comes along and says, here, I've got something for you. How about this? I say, oh, thank you, Lord. That looks really... Can't get into it. Oh, no, that's the wrong thing. Where is it then? What have I done with that? That must be in the Bible. Just borrow those. Okay, thank you. Just put those down for a second. I'll load you up again in a minute. Don't worry. Yeah, so there. So now you see... Can you hold that, please? Can you hold that, please? So God says, here, John, I've got something for you. And he looks and says, how much? Nobody having a sale. He says, how much? I say, John, you take that, please. We take that, please, John. You can't eat money. You can't eat money. It's not that tasty. We take that, please, John. You know, some of us are like that. God has given us so much. We've taken on so much baggage over the years that when God says, come on, I want you to take this. I can't take it. What we need to do is put down the baggage, start to stand on what God's promised, take away the things, and then we're in a position to take all. I've got short arms and deep pockets, you know. And take what God has got for us. Thank you, John. Thank you. You know, what are you like today? You know, did you see I got my money back as well? You know, some of us are like that. There is so much God has got for us. And I want to say to you today, you've been given some tools as how to stand and to stand firm, but to advance the kingdom of God from where you're standing. I wonder if the band will come back, please. I wonder if you are one who can press hold, take hold of what God has laid hold of you for. I wonder if perhaps you need to do, like we heard at the start, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale, time to get rid of those things you're not keeping, bring your husbands along. Maybe there are some things that you need to get rid of. But the only way you can take hold and lay hold of what all that Christ has laid hold of you for is to drop the rest of the stuff that you're carrying so you can snatch the prize in your hand. Ephesians 6:13. Let me read it again to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. What is it that you need to do that you're not doing? What is it that you need to not do that you are doing? What is it that you need to lay down so you can lay hold of the thing Christ really has for you? I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me this morning. You see, if you really want to achieve and excel in this life, first and foremost, you need God in your life. And most people here already know God, have a personal relationship with the Lord, have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But maybe this morning, you've never done that and you've never made that decision. Well, I want to say to you, the only way you'll ever truly succeed in this life is through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, accepting his death on the cross on your behalf. For that's where he purchased eternal life for you. For God so loved the world, and he loves you this morning. And he has a plan for your life that will only ever be fully revealed and fully achieved once you allow him to reveal that to you. But to do that, you first of all need to accept his death on the cross for you, to know that he laid down his life for you 2,000 years ago. So in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, I need to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you once walked with the Lord, you once knew the Lord, but these circumstances and situations, some of which I've spoken about this morning, have caused you to turn your back on God. You've given up. You've lost your fight. Well, this morning, God is calling you back. And he's calling you to recommit your life to Christ. So this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you fall into either of those categories, and you want to pray a prayer with us this morning that will enable you to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, either for the first time or recommit your life to Christ, I just want you to do something very brave. Don't want to embarrass you in any way, but I just want to invite you to pop your hand up, catch my attention, so that we can share some information with you after the service. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to do that? Just quickly catch my attention. Anyone in the house this morning who needs to recommit their life to Christ or commit their life to Christ for the very first time? Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you hold all things in the palm of your hand. You hold us in the palm of your hand. And this morning, though there's no one responding to salvation this morning, maybe God's speaking to you. And I don't want to make a big appeal this morning. I just simply want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and to show you what it is you need to do that you're not doing. What it is you need to not do that you are doing. What it is you need to fight for. What it is you need to pick up again. What it is you need to lay down so you can pick it up again. So that you can be one of whom Paul writes here, who can stand, and having done all to stand, can stand against the devil's schemes, can stand against the wiles of the enemy, can stand against that which opposes you, that can cause you to fly once again, that can cause you to soar once again. There's so much at stake here. It's about your eternal purpose being fulfilled. Perhaps you need to lay down some of the things that have stopped you, some of the things people have said, someone here, someone has said something to you that has just caught, deflated you. It's like a balloon's been popped. And all your excitement, all your energy, all your vigor, all your dreams about the things that God was going to do, you feel like it's the balloon's been burst. I'm going to say to you, God wants to reinflate that balloon. And this morning, he wants you to lay aside the hurt and the pain and what's been said and focus on the promise that he has given you, that which he laid hold of you for, because that purpose and that promise is far bigger and of more eternal worth than any hurt or pain, and is more significant. And he needs you to fulfill that call that he's placed on your life. Maybe you're weary this morning. Some have lost their fight this morning. just, it's all too hard, it's all too much. The Lord's saying, maybe there are some things you need to lay down to be able to continue in that fight, because he hasn't called you to do everything. He's called you to do what he wants you to do. Not everything that you would like to do, but what he wants you to do. That's what he's called you for. And he wants you to embrace that. He wants you to lay hold of that. But you have to put something down so that you can then lay hold of that again. You have to lay something down. You have to be willing to do your part so he can do his. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you've been carrying a heavy burden. You feel like you've been carrying a heavy burden, and it's because it's not the burden God designed you to carry. And because of that, he wants you to lay down the burden that is not his. In fact, give him your burden. Cast your care upon him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you'll feel like something's been lifted off your shoulders. Even this morning, by the power of the Spirit of God, you're just going to feel like something is lifted. Something is broken. Things that people have spoken over you and said that have damaged you. They are not God. The people who have said those things are not God. God has spoken over your life. It's time to listen to God, not men. God's saying that to someone this morning. It's time to listen to him, not the voice of man. Yes, there are godly counselors and there's godly wisdom, and God puts godly people around us, but you've been listening to the wrong people. You've been listening to the wrong thing. You need to listen to God and what he said and what he has promised. He's just the Spirit of God wants to encourage some people just to take up the baton again. Yes, you're weary from the fight, but just see the victory. You take the baton up and see the victory of your God. See the salvation of your God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning. I pray for encouragement this morning. You put the fight back in people this morning, Lord God. Holy Spirit, put the fight back within. The desire to lay hold and fan into flame. Spirit of God would say that some people here that need to fan into flame the gift of God within them. Paul didn't say that God would fan that flame when he spoke to Timothy. He said to Timothy, you fan into flame the gift of God. We have to exercise it. We have to function within that which God has given us and be obedient to the call. So when he needs to do that and be fanning into flame the gift of God within. The thing I'm getting more than all is for someone who's just felt like things were going well. You could see a purpose, you could see a plan, you could see a way ahead. And circumstances and situations have completely smothered that. And you just feel like you're giving up. You can't do it. It's not what you thought it was. You thought it was going to be different. I want to say to you that God says his purpose has not changed. His plan has not changed. What he initially said to you has not changed. Your view of it has changed because of what has happened, because of the circumstances. And you feel it's been smothered, but the Bible says he will not put out a smoldering flax, or he will not break a bruised reed or put out a smoldering flax. And this morning, God's word for you is that You may think it's been put out, but it hasn't been put out. It's still there. And you need to put aside what has smoldered, suffocated it, or what you feel has suffocated it, and lay hold of it once again. And as you do that, that which you have felt has suffocated it will be lifted off. And you'll see what God does, because God is going to lift off what you feel has suffocated the vision is going to be lifted off, and it's going to breathe once again, and you're going to breathe that vision once again. You're going to run with that vision once again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, by your Spirit this morning. You speak into hearts and lives. Father, through the foolishness of preaching, Lord God, Lord, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, I pray, Lord God, that whatever has been said this morning, it would have been your voice that's been heard. And we would take away only what you have said. Not what I've said, but what you have said. And I pray, Lord God, for people this morning, as the Spirit of God just continues to minister and speak into hearts. And God's going to continue to speak, not just now, but he's going to continue to minister. And some of you are going to go home and just realize some things that God is just directing you to and saying, you know, in actual fact, you need to just, if you do that, if you do this, and God's going to give you some blueprints. Someone here, God's going to give some new blueprints to how to get through this, because you just see a brick wall and a dead end in front of you, but God's giving some blueprints of how to get through and how to make this succeed and how to fulfill the call of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning that you hold us in the palm of your hand. You've inscribed us in the palm of your hand, Lord God, and you've called us to walk in victory. You lead us on in triumphant procession of victory, and no weapon that's fashioned against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. I thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Those who are for us are more than those against us, and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning.